Praise the Lord. We are very honored to have missionaries of this caliber and this dedication. A lot of preachers just don't pray. I've preached enough revivals with churches and been with the pastor all day. And I thought, he don't pray. They don't pray. Oh, they may have a devotion, but you can tell when men pray, and it makes a difference. And a man, God will work with a man that'll pray. And Brother Skip has had a ministry, and it did my heart good to see him come to prayer meeting. And because he believes in it, but we are honored to have them today, Sister. Delilah did a wonderful lesson in Sunday school. It was excellent. But Brother Skip is over several hundred churches. I'm sure he'll share with you if we've mentioned and those that were killed. I believe six or seven of them coming home from a convention, and he'll go be preaching the funeral to over 1,000 people. And a memorial service, covet your prayers. But would you welcome Brother Skip as he comes this morning, please?
Amen. Don't you love Jesus today? I am so happy to see all of my friends. I know Vicki came over from Santa Cruz. God bless you, hon. She's here today. And all of those that are out here today, you know, good to see Don Dryden back here. We used to sing here, didn't we, Don? I tell you what, Debbie, she was a little girl sitting by her grandma, and I told them how cute. Remember, they used to have long blonde curls, and they're sitting by Grandma Neil, and Don and I and Sister Jacobs begin to sing that song, Oh, What a Savior. People would shout all over this building. And those days, folks, we ran 300 people, is we? And you say, well, what happened? Well, the devil got in. Yeah, well, I hate the devil. And he got in and messed things up. But I'm glad we got a man of God here that doesn't love the dollar. He loves you people. You cannot be a servant of God and love the dollar. You're going to mess up every time. And a lot of people say to me, I know we have some missionaries here that established churches. We've established over 300. We run 50 to 60,000 people. And I'll be preaching August the 16th. I covet your prayers. We're going to have a downtown in Playa Vicente Veracruz, a parade honoring the Bible and honoring the six pastors who were killed. And that is the center point of around of where they were killed. Our churches there, we have two in Playa Vicente. It's a little town of about 5,000 people. We have two churches, but they're like this size. What are you going to do when you have 1,500 people? So we're running a city thing there. Also, the city is sending police. There are several police officers who are Christians, and they will be guiding us down the main street of town, and there'll be probably 1,500 people marching with Bibles, and then the pictures of the pastors who were killed. I don't understand why they were killed. And it's out of that district of Playa Vicente, Veracruz. We had our greatest convention, Brother Tom Bates from Independence, Kentucky, who you see on TVN occasionally. And he's a man of God. He's one I can back. He's one who still believes in holiness. And he's a good man. Tommy has a church of over 2,000, and it's the biggest church I preach in the USA. But he came down and preached a convention. I interpreted it for him, and we had a tremendous convention. Every night we had 1,500 people, and God was so good. Saved, done many things, but I don't know why. Them returning convention, and that Thursday I had to preach a dedication of a new church among the Chumula Indians in the morning, and the night I preached an anniversary service. And After the anniversary service, we were returning to San Cristobal Las Casas Chiapas at the little hotel we stay in, and a car blew the horn behind us. Oh, we said, well, that's Pastor Mariano, and pulled over, and he come around the car. He said, Brother Kincaid, he said, something terrible has happened. He said, Brother Mateo had a wreck going home, and all are killed. 9 people in one four-door Nissan pickup. I'll tell you, I don't understand it. Many things you never understand. So I will have to preach. My opening verse will be Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto God. And the revealed things belong unto us. That will be the start of my message, August the 16th. But I ask your prayers, because probably out of that 1,500 people, there'll be 500 who have never heard the gospel. So we ask your prayer that we'll be able to touch them. Because the world says, why did God allow that to happen? Where was your God? Them all being killed. One pastor has 300 members in his church. But I don't know. Many things happen you don't know. Many things transpire. We don't have the answer. And we'll know about it by and by. Amen? Amen? Delilah did a good job this morning teaching. She's a good Bible teacher. I got to say that. The kids at Bible school loved her, and they all cried when she couldn't teach anymore. But she's feeling better. Jesus has touched her. She told me the other day, said, honey, I think I can teach at least one day a week. Yeah. So this year she'll be teaching one day. Honey, get up and say hi anyway. Got some new people. Come in. I talked yesterday to my granddaughter. I don't know how to work all these apparatuses, but the young kids do. You know, probably Tim, your little kids are getting to be better with electronics than you are. I know that Darcy here, she had all hooked up with my granddaughter, who's a missionary in India, and we talked. Of course, she was calling from Thailand. She said, oh, Grandpa, I'm so happy up here in Thailand. It's cool, because in New Delhi, India, it's 112 and 115. And India, I haven't gone. My granddaughter went last year, got sick as a dog. My son went, he got sick as a dog. Everybody I know goes to India, gets sick as a dog. I don't really want to get sick as a dog, you know. I'll tell you. But she's going to Scotland, and Debbie already said she'd like to go to Scotland. The weather in Scotland is cool. In the summertime, it runs from 50 to 75. At night, 50. In the daytime, 75. In the wintertime, 30 to 50.
And they're not sick as a dog.
That's right. You don't, I tell you, my granddaughter brought me snacks from India. I've never seen crackers hot. They have hot crackers. Just burn you up. You think Mexican food's hot? Oh, no, no, no. Indian, you can't eat the peanuts. It burn you up. I had to give them all away. But I just thank God that my granddaughters are, are called missionaries. And the grandson, now the big boy, was put on as youth pastor at the Assembly of God right there on the border. And he'll probably be teaching some with us at the school, but mainly he has about 70 young people. I talked with him yesterday, and so he'll be youth pastor. And of course, when you start out as an independent missionary, you get hardly any support. Of course, now he's going to be making double as a youth pastor what he made as a missionary, and they're going to take care of his insurance. So it's good. He's working for Jesus. Amen. And so we understand these things. And Darcy, she's going to be a missionary at the Assemblies of God, and then my other granddaughter's Assembly of God. Now, that's a little better, but being independent in some ways. But the old grandpa, he likes just to follow the leading of the Lord, you know. And that's just the way you guys know how I am, huh? And so we just follow the leading of the Lord in all ways. And we had six Pentecost Church of God students this year. Four of them graduated. I tell them, Brother Mike and my nephew, they're both Pentecost Church of God pastors and churches that help us. And Brother Mike Cox, I said, hey, one of our best graduates, Pentecost Church of God boy, and we sent him back to Pentecost Church of God. Where did I get Pentecostal Church of God students? Well, in 1966, a young couple came and got saved in Wiesla, and I dedicated their baby. I've only dedicated over 7,000, but I dedicated their baby, and they moved to Tijuana and started a church. And they said, our Bible school, when we heard Brother Kincaid at a Bible school, he said, we send our students there. Said, we know that his experience, the many years he's been and they stay there. And most of the Bible schools in Latin America are night schools. You don't live there. I think Assembly of God only has one school where you stay and live there. In Mexico, they've got about 20 of them, but only one. And so most of the Bible schools are just, you just come in at night and study. And that way you never get to know the character of the individual. You see, when the individual stays there and has to get up in the morning, go to prayer meeting, you know their character. You know they're going to be a good worker, or they're just fooling around. And so that has a whole lot of meaning. And so they sent us, and they're going to send us another four students this next year. We're looking for 24 to 28 students. That's about all we can handle, because our water wells do not pump enough water. We've gone down 600 feet, we can't get any more water. But we just thank God. And so we'll have six Pentecost Church of God students, and they're good kids. And like Mom said, our best one was PCG, and we just appreciate God. I'm going to minister this morning on ye are chosen of the Lord. How many have been chosen of the Lord? And there is a reality to being chosen, you know. And we know that in the word they call us eclenics, means the drawing of and the conviction and pulling of. And then in the Greek it's ekalion. Then close to that is ecclesia. That means a group called. And in Spanish it's iglesia, which means the group is a church. So, but the calling of, and the Lord has called each one of us. If you're saved, he touched you to receive him. It's like a double job, you know. He touches you and you say, yes, Lord, I give my spirit unto thee. It's just a two-way thing. And it's great to be chosen of the Master. Amen. I am not a Calvinist. I just finished David Hunt's book. Now, Dave Hunt died last year sometime. He was 87 years old, but a tremendous author. I read all of his books. I've talked with him personally. I know the man, his conviction, his life. And he just finished a book on Calvinism and also Arminianism. And it's extremely interesting, 500 pages. It only took me 1 week to read it. Because once I get a book I like, yeah, I just stay right with it. You see, TV, you don't learn much. You read a book and it stays with you. It's just about, it takes time. But I'd have to teach theology and apologetics and all church history in the Bible school. So you need to know what you have to give out to the students, you know. And when a student come in, he doesn't know Jacob Arminio. Who was Jacob Arminio? Well, he's the founder of our doctrine. See, all Pentecostal doctrine goes back to Jacob Arminio. And all Baptist doctrine goes back to John Calvin. And the difference is quite a bit. When Michael Servette came to John Calvin, they had a big meeting. And John Calvin said, well, you're a heretic. They just took him up out and went and burned him to a stake. Where was the love of John Calvin? I don't know. But he burned Michael Servette, the first oneness preacher, to the stake. They burned him to death. But that's history. You can study it. But I certain points of Calvinism is good, but basically, we are Arminianists, amen? And we've been chosen of God, but we have a will that we can either follow him or not follow him, see? Now, the angels, they were given that opportunity one time. You say, well, how come? Because God sends an angel. How many have been protected by an angel? I have. When God didn't let that set the guy kill me, be 2 years in January, put that AK-47 to my head, and he didn't pull the trigger and blow me away, what happened? I had the angel of the Lord. Amen. And when I cried out, oh, Lord, help us, I didn't say, oh, Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, help us. And I was worried. Oh, Lord, help him. And God heard my cry instantly. Sent that new car around the corner loaded with all those people coming from that big wedding that they'd had. And he looks over there and he points that AK-40 and says, piety, stop it. And he slides. The guy sees he has an AK-47 on the night. He just would have blown him away. See, the sentence, they just kill people all the time. We had 10 killed last week in Reynosa. We had 60 killed the 1st of May. They just open those AK-47s and get fighting with the army, and whoever gets in the way just gets blown away. And it's just something that I face on the border. And only God keeps you. I miss the big battle. In April, heard the book, da, 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 and I seen everybody sliding to a stop. Oh, boy, I slid to a stop, whooped around. I left the firing. They're in a big fight. I came to find out 8 were killed. Oh, praise God, I got out of that one, yeah. But we have that. And but when God set me free, and he ran over to the car, and he said, get out, what? Serious. He's just shaking. And he yelled, come over and help me. There's a lot of people to rob here. Leave that little car. We was in a little old Nissan. And he left him. He ran over there. I said, Brother Joaquin, I said, let's get out of here. He said, oh, they're going to shoot us. I said, yeah, we stay here. They'll shoot us. So he tried to put it in reverse, but he forgot he was shaking so much he didn't push in the clutch. And he just went, I said, oh, man, they know we're leaving now. Everybody heard we was leaving, that old transmission squealing, yeah. But we got out of there, and then we pulled over about 3 blocks away and began to praise God. Thank you, Lord, you set us free. Thank you, Lord. You heard our cry. Thank you, Lord. You didn't let him kill us, amen? That's the Lord we serve today. He does hear and answer prayer. I wouldn't be here today if he didn't hear and answer prayer, amen? We serve a God that is alive. The reason why my granddaughter is going to Scotland, you say, well, John Knox went there and turned it over in 1628, 1640, was a Presbyterian nation. But they forgot to teach a living God. And today, what, honey, what is it, 80% atheist? 80% atheist. There are no Pentecostal churches in Scotland. One or two. She's gone there to help. Start one and her. Because she was telling me how God healed her husband, broken neck and back, all that stuff. I said, well, we know when God gives a miracle, he's alive. Yeah. Yeah. We serve a living God. Yeah. We have a reason to praise him and shout and glorify his name. He's alive. But if we're in a church that Jesus did the miracles back in the days of the apostles, and he doesn't hear prayer anymore, come alive. And those people begin to go into atheism. And God becomes a dead God. But our God is a living God. Amen. He is alive and alive forevermore. In these last 2 years, I've seen two blind people. I told you about the little boy. November, I went up to the church. They wanted me to come back. They'd never seen a blind person. Pray for him and God opened his eyes on Monday morning. I prayed on Sunday night. Woo! The church, they brought him in the next week, said the church shouted, ran up down the aisle. They had a Pentecostal. They had never seen a blind person healed. And they wanted me, I said, I can't carry the miracles in my briefcase. I said, he did, but we went back. We had a few healings, but no blind people healed. But I got to hold the little guy, and he looked at me and grinned. And I put him down, and he was playing in the hall of the church. He had him a little cart, and he just, he's making noises and pushing it. I had seen him cry.
Yes.
I held him when he was totally blind. He seen nothing. But Jesus came down. Jesus came down. We want to put up the verse, John 15, 16. I don't know, Donnie, could you get him? Where's Donnie at back there? There somewhere. I want it in the old, now, I don't want it in the revised versions because they revise it according to the way they want it. I like to get it the way I want it. Amen. John 15, 16. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. All right, I'm just going to stop there for a minute. When Brother Hurd ordained me in 1961 convention, in Fresno, California, in the C.L. Flatters Church. We all marched in. I remember Brother Lee G was with him, and I don't know, there were about 16 of us. We marched in that big church and had a, we had a candle. And we stood in front, and we said, this is the light we'll shine for Jesus. But then we extinguished it, and said, we bow for ordination. What does an ordination mean? They took oil and put it on his hands, and he touched my head. Well, what does it mean when John said, we're ordained? You know, I read that. How many of you read it, Pastor? That means that Jesus came and he laid his hands on and he touched you. Ordained you. What ordained one? You cannot be ordained unless you have anointing put upon you.
Amen.
When he ordains you, he anoints you with his presence.
Amen.
We read over and we don't understand the deepness of the word ordained. Christ chose us and he ordained us. What did he do? Come down and he laid his. If you've never felt Jesus, you've never been saved.
Amen.
If you've never felt the touch of the Lord, you are still short of being ordained. But I'm glad I have felt the touch of the Lord.
Amen.
Felt his presence. And know that he is alive.
Amen.
That he has redeemed me. He has saved me. That our salvation is more than just a dead amount of words. It's a living salvation. And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now God wants us to go and testify, and win other souls to him. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, now this is the secret here. I'm giving to you in the King James Version. I want you to know it. He may give it to you. I don't want the new versions. I want the King James Version. It's very beautiful, this part of the scripture. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, I want to tell you why this clears up many people's questions. Why didn't I pray to God? I fasted and prayed. My wife had cancer. She died. I told my brother, lost his wife. Yeah. He said, why is it God healed me of cancer? Bob and I prayed for Thelma and Pablo's little girl. She was 10 years old, dying of cancer. We were in the house the night before she died. She called out to my wife. She called. But they lost their homes. They lost their new pickups. Of course, they didn't use any brains. See, they thought they could buy everything, four-wheelers and all kinds of junk to go ride in the sand. Oh, boy, it's wasted money like it was, like they had tons of it, you know. Sometimes you can't tell kids anything, can you? But anyway, they lost it. And I told them the other day, I'm proud of you. They're young people. They're leaders in the church. They said, Uncle Skip, you know, in the good times and the bad times, we love the Lord. Amen. And that's it. When we understand this verse, ye shall ask. Now, I ask God, how many people do I pray for a year? Huh? Over 1,000. Easy. Maybe 2,000. Do I see any miracles? Yes, we see a lot of miracles. I prayed for I'll tell a few of them tonight. They're more funny. But I prayed for a boy there at Brother Andres' church. I preach a lot for that Andres' church. It's just across the border in Anosa. We run about 420, 440 in the church. And I like that because I always have, don't we? Every Sunday I've never preached, we'll have 4, 5, 6, 8. He never has a service when I'm there that we don't have new people. We don't, and I like to do that. Well, we've got 10 churches in Anosa, but some of them are 35, some of them 25. Some, they die and go on to heaven. Amen? I don't understand. Only he knows. He knows. But I will keep praying for people until Jesus comes, because I'm not the healer, state. Keep asking him. Because you never know when you're going to get the miracle.
That's right.
Because he's a miracle worker. Amen. But he has chosen us. Amen. Then we go on to 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I'm glad I belong to the family of God. Amen. Now, I know the Pentecostal way is the closest way to what Jesus preached. But I have met some good Nazarenes, some good Baptists, some good, they have what they call Pilgrim Methodist people, very wonderful people. And other people that love God, amen? So he knows in this family, amen, he knows who belongs to this family. And so we just can't say, well, my church is the only one going up. That's why I get aggravated at the churches and say, well, just us. If you don't belong to us, you're not going up. Ah, that's hogwash. We don't know. Only he knows. Yeah. In all churches, we've got some people that love God. Amen? And so he knows who the sheep are. And so I believe as the older we get, we realize, you know. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Well, that's sometime that we got a lot of peculiar people in Pentecost, I know. We've had some dandies in our lifetime, eh? We could go back, Don, when we were kids here, we had some funny people, eh? And things you would laugh at, you know. And I remember one lady who always called her sister Tut-Tut. She never got over speaking the Holy Spirit. She'd just go Tut-Tut-Tut-Tut-Tut-Tut-Tut-Tut-Tut-Tut. And we nicknamed her Sister Tut-Tut. And so when Bill and I and all of us were talking, we just called her Sister Tut-Tut, yeah. And we had people that, down through the ages, that were peculiar, but they loved God. That ye should show forth praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. All praise must go to him. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the one who changeth not. He is the one that should be praised and honored. What we are today and what we have today, we realize it all comes from him. There is nothing greater. There is nothing more blessed. David said in Psalm 65:4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and comest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Why does he choose us? So we'll dwell. So that we'll walk. I love Jesus. He's my Savior. He died for me. He redeemed me. He chose me. He chose you. It's a privilege today. Your weaknesses. Friend, the Bible don't do that. But we're living in days, if you come against it, they call you a bigot. But I'll come against it. I don't care if they put a gun to my head. They've done that before. Yeah. But anyway, we have to stand for righteousness. We're living in the end days. Jesus is coming any day. There is nothing, nothing that detains his coming. The gospel has gone into all of the world through all the technology that they have now. If you told me, when I used to shout, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. This altar wasn't here then. We had the old altar. Remember that, Don? This wasn't here years ago. We had the old altar. I was praying down there in 1952 with Mike Lasada. And he's praying with me. He said, Skip, let him build it. Why? Never been built. But boy, that night, the Spirit, and I had. Across this crowd today, I can see so many that I remember when they were dedicated up here. I dedicated my two boys here. And I can see those that were dedicated here. Amen. And it's so good to see you in the house of God.
Yes. Praise God.
Here this morning, if you were dedicated here, just raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh, my. People, do you see all these that were dedicated?
I feel left out.
Isn't God good?
Amen.
God is good. Amen. That just thrills me. Had about 12 people or 13 here this morning that were dedicated, and they're here today. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Because the Lord we have has chosen us. Maybe some had problems. Maybe some has had difficulties. Maybe some had fallen by the way. But he forgives and lifts you up. Because he loves you. He's a good Lord. He's a good Lord. He changeth not. Amen. David said that we could come and approach unto thee that he may dwell in thy courts. I want to remain with Jesus. You take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You could take the whole world. There's no one equal the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He liveth and abides forevermore. Now that we're getting older and we see things and have passed so many experiences, we realize more than ever there's no one like Jesus. He is truth. He is life. He is our Savior. And I want to tell you something. If you're one of those today that said, I asked the Lord, and he hasn't done it for me, keep praying. He may give it to you. I know when I was a kid, we used to play that game, May I? You had to ask. If you didn't say may I, you kicked out of the line. You know? I don't remember how it goes, but back in the 40s, we played that as kids, you know. And may I? You know? I don't know how many ever played may I. A lot of people played may I. And if you didn't do what the boss said, you lost your place, you know. You had to obey what the person that led the game. If you didn't say may I, you were out. And you know, we go to the Lord, and he may, and he may not, but you keep asking.
Lord.
Amen. You keep asking, because you never know when you're going to see the miracle. Especially you today that have a son or a daughter, or a grandson, or a granddaughter. They don't want nothing to do with God. They'd rather booze it up, party it up. Sad. In my day, we didn't have drugs. All they had was beer, and that's about it. I don't know if any of the men started a little marijuana, but we really didn't see drugs. They just got drunk. But today, they have that terrible thing of meth. And it's killed so many young people. We see that the devil fights the youth on every side. If he can gain the youth like he did in Scotland, he'll have a nation.
I want you to go ahead and be seated for a moment and keep in an attitude of worship, because one of the greatest ways you can worship the Lord is by your giving, and we definitely want to honor Brother Skip. We were so blessed and thrilled to be able to give him $2,500, which none of it he keeps. He gives it down to those pastors, not that it would be wrong if he did. He's worthy of his hire. But I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. We're going to take this time a love offering. And we appreciate your giving. This is a giving church. And if you're unable to give, don't condemn yourself. You do what you can. God knows. And if you want to step out in faith, say, well, I just feel impressed. I'm going to push my faith a little, give more than I think I can. God will honor you for that. And we want to encourage you for that. Praise the Lord. Brother Dave, would you ask God's blessings on the offering for our missionaries?
Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. Thank you, God, for all you've given to us, Lord. Provided for us. Thank you for Brother Skip.
While you're still in an attitude of worship, and Debbie, would you come just for a moment, please? Brother Skip, I have read, and the people know this, I have read John 14, 15, 16, and 17 for the last 3 years. I have never noticed the word may. And I've been reading the King James every night. And it amazes me how you can continually get something out of the Word of God. And my goodness, what a... I've always believed that, but that just really puts it together. That's what those... they went on a maybe when Jonah said 40 days in the judgment. And they said, well, maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe if we repent. And the prophet said, no, won't do no good. 40 days, you're done with. God's disgusted with you. That's how he felt.
Yeah.
But God in his mercy, he honored their faith because they said, well, maybe who can tell? And God did it. How many can work with that kind of faith? And because we don't know. We believe, and God will honor that. But, oh, what a, boy, I'll preach that like it was my own. Would you stand? We appreciate it. Don't forget, the restaurant is waiting, Brother Jim. Could everybody hear that? Anything on the senior menu? Do you have? You don't have to be a senior. Just okay. Would you please show your teeth? If you don't have any, show your gums and smile at someone next to you. And please make an effort and come and. Let's fellowship together and mingle with one another at the restaurant, and then come back tonight. And.